From Washington, Crossfire, tonight, Jewish Counterterror. The host for Crossfire, on the left, Tom Brayton. On the right, Pat Buchanan. In the Crossfire, Meir Kahani, chairman of the Jewish Defense League.
Welcome to Crossfire. Early this week, 19 men were arrested in Jerusalem in a sweeping investigation of terrorism on the occupied West Bank. What makes the story startling is that all 19 were Jews. West Bank settlers allegedly plotting bombings and other atrocities to terrify the Arab population into fleeing Judea and Samaria and opening those lands to further Jewish settlement and even annexation by the Israeli state. Tom?
Rabbi Meir Kahani, I realize that you're in Miami and Pat and I are in Washington, but I hope you can hear our questions and answer them. I realize that you have espoused the expulsion of Arabs from what you call Greater Israel. Do you approve of the terror that Pat mentioned earlier?
Let me first say this, that the preface, the introduction, was one that was based on a very wrong premise. Certainly nothing that was alleged was done in order to drive the Arabs out. What was done was a counter-terror by frustrated, angry, bitter Jews who see Jews killed every single week, either on the buses, in the heart of their cities. And what was done was a counter-terror to work out some method of convincing Arabs that one who lives by the sword dies by it. I of course want to expel Arabs, but I want that done in the only practical way, done by the government of Israel. I certainly am for any kind of Jewish action which will put an end to Arab terror.
Do you know these people that were arrested, any of them?
Of course I do. And they're fine Jews, and they're good Jews, and they're the pioneers of our time.
Are fine Jews who put bombs on buses?
They are the finest Jews in the world because they want to make sure that Arabs won't put Arab bombs on Jewish buses.
Rabbi Kahani, you are a rabbi. Do you see any moral distinction between placing a bomb on a busload of Jewish or American tourists and placing a bomb on a busload of Palestinian Arabs? Is there any moral distinction that you see between those two acts?
Of course, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I will. I always do. When the German bombed Coventry and the British bombed Dresden, it wasn't the same. And one who doesn't realize that really has to have a pretty good grounding in ethics and morals. Our problem is that for 30 years now, Arabs have been killing Jews through terror. Now, I don't know what your answer is. My answer is, if I were the Prime Minister, I would remove the Arabs. However,
but following your logic, Meir Kahani, Rabbi, yes, if yes. Arabs have been killing Jews for 30 years through terror, then mm-hmm. the Jews have, I guess, a 30-year run in which they can kill Arabs through terror in retaliation, reprisal, as a preventive measure. Is that correct?
If that's the only way, yes. I don't think it is the only way.
But it's an acceptable way.
Not only an acceptable way, it is the Jewish way.
It is a commendable Jewish way.
A commendable Jewish way.
Putting bombs on a bus of Palestinians leaving from Jerusalem to go to a camp, and in the knowledge that everybody that goes on that bus, because they're going to a Palestinian camp, is going to be a Palestinian. These are civilians, and it is morally acceptable to put the bomb on the bus and explode it when the bus is going down the road.
For 35 years, nobody tried that. For 35 years, Jews were good. Jews were moral. Jews were
ethical. Well, they're being moral now, according to you.
Of course, I say moral according to your Western standards. You don't care whether my wife goes into the marketplace and gets bombed, or my kids go on that
buses. Well, that's
what I do.
What do you say?
If the only way, because up until now, you haven't asked an Arafat this question. You assume that he is a Palestine fighter.
Why do you say I don't
know what I'm saying?
Hold on, honey, wait a minute. Why do you assume that when you're wrong?
Yeah.
Because I've written a great deal about Mr. Arafat, and I can't think of a kind word I've written about the man, because he does indulge
a kind word about him.
He's indulges in terror against civilians. That's why he's wrong.
What I'm asking you is to do a lot more than writing asinine articles that come up with a good solid crack away.
All right, let me suppose I put a bomb on a body
on a bus and getting killed. It is very easy for you people sitting in Washington without problems to sit and to talk to and to, you know, talk about in your sterile manner, intellectual manner about it isn't right. I would put it to you, get out of your ivory tower, get out to cities where Jews suffer, and then let's see you talk.
Mr. Kahane, Rabbi Kahane, I'd like to know, are you raising money to support these people that are putting bombs on buses?
You know very, very well that is really a very foolish question to ask me, because if I am, I won't tell you. I have to get back to Israel in 3 weeks running for Knesset. So ask me a question that you know that I can answer.
All right, let me ask you a question that I think you can answer. You want to run all the Arabs out of what you call Greater Israel. There are about 1,300,000 of them, aren't there? How are you going to run them out? By putting bombs on buses?
Oh, no. If the Arabs of Israel put on the radio tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. and we heard the news that Meir Khan is Minister of Defense, they would start packing themselves.
Why? What would they be afraid of you doing? What exactly would you do to get them off? Suppose the guy said, as the mayor of Bethlehem told me the last time I was there, look, Bethlehem's my home. My family's been here for 700 years.
That's quite true.
All right, what would you tell him?
I would say to him, back in the 1920s and 30s and 40s, when you guys had the power, you guys massacred Jews. And don't start talking now like some poor, innocent person. You try to massacre Jews in 1947, when the UN offered a state, a Jewish state and an Arab state. You people said no. You went to war. You killed us. The best thing is for you people to live with your brothers and your sisters in any one of their 22 countries and leave us our one country.
All right, well, let me mention, when I was on that West Bank, I went down to see, I guess, the person from Gush Emunim. I might be pronouncing it wrong. She was a young lady that had moved to settlement there on the West Bank. Mm-hmm. And 11 years ago, she said she was at Barnard College up in Columbia. Why does she have a right to that property and to live on the West Bank when the mayor of Bethlehem's family has been there 700 years and Palestinians have been in that land as long as Jews?
Because they came in after Jews were thrown out by the Romans, not 700 years ago, but 2,000 years ago.
And so
Abraham lived there, and Isaac lived there, and Jacob lived there. My parents lived in and I'm not about to sit in with people of a Western culture and a Christian culture which massacred Jews for 2,000 years and then starts babbling about our right to have our own country.
But you
don't
want
to live as a minority.
Look, you're
under you people, okay?
You're a rabbi. You're a rabbi. I don't know I don't know your religion as well as you do, but will you tell me on what basis in your religion you find that it is condoned by God to bomb people on buses?
If one comes to slay you, slay him first. That's in the Talmud. Now, that's not good Quakerism. That's why Richard Nixon is not Jewish. It's not good Gandhiism. That's why I don't wear loincloths. This incredible ethics, neo-ethics, pseudo-ethics, coming from people that massacred my people for 2,000 years, I simply don't trust you.
I want my own
country.
If it is right for Meir Kahane to drive all these Palestinians into their own diaspora, why was it wrong for the Roman legions in 70 AD and 100 years later to take all the Jews and drive them out of their homes?
This was never the Arab home. When we were driven out through no fault of our own, they came into our country. We have come back now to our country. Three times daily, Jews prayed for 2,000 years to go back to Zion. The Arabs have 22 countries, for God's sake. 22, and I have one. And I'm not about to sit and debase myself by a debate over whether that one country is mine.
How many thousand years, Rabbi Kahane, do you want us to go back in order to satisfy you and those who follow your aspirations?
First of all, I really don't care whether you agree, you know, or are happy with it, or satisfy me, satisfy you.
I'm going back 2,000 years when there was a Jewish state. We were driven out, and never once did we stop saying we're coming back.
Well, let me ask a question. You say you're not satisfied. You don't care whether you satisfy me.
That's right.
You must have some responsibility, however, Rabbi Kahane, to the people of America, without whose help, there wouldn't even be an Israel.
Mr. Braden, God made Israel, and God brought us back. And if you feel that the help that Israel has given America in its testing of the F-16s in real war, in its silencing the Syrian missiles and showing you how, in showing the CIA what Russian tanks look like, if you feel that that's not worth it, I invite you to stop helping Israel.
I ask you, Rabbi Kahane, to consider this question. If you feel that the billions of dollars which the people of the United States, out of the goodness of their hearts, give to Israel is going to go to help bomb innocent Arabs on civilian buses, I ask you to ask America whether they're willing to continue to help you.
Mr. Braden, Ronald Reagan has never given a penny of foreign aid to Israel or to Egypt out of the goodness of his heart. Foreign aid goes to countries that America believes to be in its own interest. If you feel it is not, you're welcome to form your own lobby and tell Mr. Reagan to stop giving us money. You get back a strong ally, a tough ally, and a lot of important things. If you feel it is not worth it,
Rabbi,
go ahead and stop it.
Rabbi Kahane, I don't think the American people will support a fascist Israel, which is what you're defining.
I don't know whether it'll support a fascist Israel. I don't believe that the American people necessarily will define Israel in your particular manner. I've been with you now on shows four different times. You are not a lover of the Jewish people, period.
From Miami, we're talking with Rabbi Meir Kahane. He's chairman of the JDL. Tom Braden, I'll be back in a minute.
Now, back to Crossfire on Cable News Network.
Welcome back to Crossfire, where Pat Buchanan and I are talking with Rabbi Meir Kahane, the head of the Jewish Defense League, and the subject is recent terror on the West Bank, terror which is, in this instance, Jewish terror. Rabbi Kahane, I heard you say just a moment ago that you didn't think I was a lover of the Jewish people. I suppose what you mean by that is I'm not a lover of people who put bombs on buses. That's the only thing I can think of. Now, let me ask you, I've heard you define what you think the Jewish people ought to do, which is drive the Arabs out, and if necessary, by bombs on buses. What is the difference between your religious zealotry and that of the Ayatollah Khomeini of Iran?
First of all, let's get things straight. I'll say it again. You're not a lover of the Jewish people, period. Now, I never said that we should drive the Arabs out by bombing them. I made it quite clear, explicitly clear, at the very start of this program that I am for a governmental action, which would include giving Arabs compensation for their property if they left willingly, and if not, moving them out, not through bombs, but through the government of Israel. Now, that is about as clear a statement as I would possibly make.
That's a clear statement, but let me hold it. Wait a minute. That's a clear statement, but you also said at the beginning of the program that you condoned what your friends did, and what your friends are accused of doing, and some have admitted to doing, is
absolutely
putting bombs on the buses of civilian Palestinian men, women, and children. Some, you know, nobody knows what they stand for.
Yeah, but not for the purpose, my friend, of driving out the Arabs. For the purpose of teaching Arabs, you don't put bombs on Jewish buses for 35 years. You don't put bombs in Jewish marketplaces. Jewish blood is not going to be cheap anymore. And if that bothers you, well, that's just too bad.
Well, all right, look, let me ask you this. Why is it that Meir Kahane's support in the state of Israel is almost non-existent? The Israeli government has not formally annexed the West Bank. The Elan plan, which would give up 60% of the West Bank, has considerable support. Mr. Peres, I think Tom and I have both talked to him, is indicating he's willing to make a deal to return areas of it to Arab control, or at least Arab representation. Why don't you have any support for your, or any real deep support in the state of Israel?
Let me say that I've always found it odd that people equate truth with votes. The tragedy is that many people say true things.
which are so painfully true and so difficult that people simply are not ready to back that. However, I'm running for Knesset. In 3 months, there will be an election. I would put it to you that when I come back to America next year, and if you'll have me, I'll come back as a member of Knesset, and you see the great difference that has taken place since.
Let me tell you honestly that I hope the United States will not have you back. I consider that you are a disgrace to the United States of America. Whether you're a disgrace to Israel or not is up to them to decide.
Mr. Braden, you really have to stand on a long line of anti-Semites who have said that.
Rabbi Kahane, I've lost my thought here. Let me ask you this.
I don't blame you for losing
Let me
your
ask
thought.
You this. Jesse Jackson contends when he made a number of... After he made the Hymie statement, the Hymietown statement, that reporters had failed to cover the fact that he was being harassed by Jewish militants. Was that your organization doing the harassment, or do you know anything about it?
It never happened, and it certainly was not JDL. Jesse Jackson is a vicious Jew hater, a vicious white hater, and it just bothers me that a Walter Mondale doesn't do what he should, get up and say what he would say if Jesse Jackson were a white Klansman. I'll have nothing to do with this person. We have never harassed Jackson. We have never harassed Jackson.
May I just ask you, Rabbi Kahane, you bother me. I agree with what you say about Mondale and Jackson, and I deplore any evidence of racism on the part of Jackson, and I think there is some. But I'm surprised at you, who would put bombs on buses carrying women and children. I'm surprised that you're talking about racial tolerance.
It isn't a question of that, and you know it.
No, I don't know it. What's the difference between that and what you advocate toward the Arabs of Palestine?
If white Klansmen in the South would be lynching blacks, and there would be no governmental body protecting them, I could well understand blacks driven by fear and anger doing anything to whites to save their lives. I can certainly see that. In this case, there is nothing in the world. No one is bombing blacks, and Jackson's statements are sheer racism for their own sake.
All right, let me ask you a question about the state of Israel. You talk about a Jewish state, and you say that, look, the Jewish community's got to decide between a democratic state where Palestinians would vote and eventually overwhelm the community and make it a mixed state, no longer Jewish. But it is a fact, Rabbi Kahane, that the net migration in and out of Israel is out. Jews are leaving the state of Israel far more than they're coming in. Do you not see this as a long-term problem for the very survival of the state you're talking about?
Well, that's exactly... Of course you're right. That's exactly why I want to move the Arabs out. Now you finally begin to understand. There is hope yet.
I don't...
Well, I understand exactly what you're up to, but understanding does not presume agreement with some of the statements you made earlier in the show or have continued to make, which is condoning... I mean, acts of terror against innocent people. I don't know how any rabbi can condone that. Retaliatory strikes are one thing.
They're not so innocent, and in World War II, when the Allies bombed German cities, they weren't exactly killing generals. I don't think that you or Mr. Braden would protest the Allied bombing of German cities.
The terror bombing of the cities of Germany and Japan was wrong.
Well, in that case, then, I must say to you that you don't understand the concept in the Bible, and thou shalt burn out evil from thy midst.
Well, I hope it gets burned out of your midst, Rabbi Kahane, and I think it ought to begin right in your heart.
Okay, Mr. Braden, I can say one thing to you, that the Jewish people in Israel will not look to you for their salvation or existence.
I hope that they're followers of you, that they won't.
Our guest has been Rabbi Meir Kahane. Tom Baden, I'll be back in a minute.
Oh, back to Crossfire on Cable News Network.
One of the things a lot of us fought for in World War II, Pat, was the establishment of a democratic Jewish homeland. And as long as Israel permits that guy to speak for it and to it, I'm afraid a dream is shattered.
He does not speak for the state of Israel. I think he speaks out of a line that W.H. Auden gave in that poem, September 1939, those to whom evil is done do evil in return.
You agree with him?
Do I agree with him? Of course not.
It's very sad. From the left, I'm Tom Braden. Good night for Crossfire.
From the right, Pat Buchanan. Join us next time for another edition of Crossfire.
If you would like to comment on...
When he moved to Israel in the early 70s and started a political movement, you expected him to pick up right support. But last year, Kahane was elected to the Israeli parliament. And political experts in the country now say that his far-right views may have the backing of 10% of the Israeli electorate. Joining us now on Night Watch, Knesset member Meir Kahane. Rabbi Kahane, as I understand it, your basic platform is the expulsion or the removal, let's say, of Arabs from Israel. Now, how would a thing like that be done?
One, that's hardly my basic platform. That's one of my points.
Well, taking that point.
First of all, I think that when you raise that point, you've got to realize that it is a solution to a problem. And the question really should be, what is the problem?
But the question is, these people, some of them have lived there with families for centuries.
Let me
how
state
are you
the problem. I'm not going to answer that until I state why I want to, and then I'll answer it. Because if you just take it out of context, I come off looking like a Nazi, and I'm not. There's a problem. The Arabs of Israel live in a country which is called the Jewish state, which has been the homeland of the Jewish people who came back after 2,000 years to their own country. The Arabs of Israel don't want to live in a Jewish state, and I don't blame them. I understand them. The problem is that they are growing at a tremendous rate. How many Arabs will there be without war, with coexistence, with democracy, with equality? How many Arabs will there be in 10 years, in 20 years? How many Arabs will sit in the Knesset? Do they have a right in a democratic state to be the majority and vote Israel out of existence?
That's
the problem. Now I'll give you the answer.
All right.
The only answer is they've got to move. Now, I'm ready to offer the Arabs compensation for their property and leave. But I'm not saying take it, and if you don't take it, you won't leave. I'm telling them you are leaving because you have 22 countries and I have only one. Now, if they'll leave willingly, they'll leave. If not, we'll move them out physically, as the Poles and the Czechs did to 12 million ethnic Germans after World War II.
Well, now, Rabbi Kahane, you said a minute ago that I'm not a Nazi. But does it make you a little uncomfortable that this principle and some of your tactics are very reminiscent of the early Adolf Hitler?
No, it's quite reminiscent of the post-war Poles and the Czechs.
But that doesn't mean it's not reminiscent of what the Nazis...
Not at all, because if the British bombed Coventry, and then if the Germans bombed Coventry, and then the British bombed Dresden, that doesn't make the British and the Germans the same. And if cops have guns and if robbers have guns, it doesn't make cops robbers. The Jews of Germany did not walk around saying, it's our country, the Germans stole it from us, and when we become the majority, we'll take the country and call it Israel. They wanted nothing more than to be the best Germans possible. The Arabs of Israel don't say that. They say, the Jews have taken this country from us, we'll take this country back, they're our enemies. Now, I am all for people living in their own country. This is the only country that I have, the only one.
But I must say now, you were born in Brooklyn. Some of these Arabs that live in Israel, their forefathers have lived there for centuries. Who are you to waltz in there and say,
I am glad that you've raised that question, because your question really is not to Meir Kahane. It's to Zionism. It's to the Jewish people who went back in 1948. A Ben-Gurion who was born in Poland. Other Jews were born in Russia. Well, we came back because it was our country 2,000 years ago, long before there were Arabs there. Now, if you don't like that answer, that's fine. But then your quarrel is not with Kahane. It's with Zionism, and it's with the existence of the Jewish state per se.
But isn't your solution inevitably going to lead to bloodshed?
I would venture to say that it was not Kahane that started the war in 1948 between the Jews and the Arabs, or in 56, or in 67, or in 73. There will be bloodshed in that area because that area apparently is programmed for bloodshed. The Arabs would do to us, if they could, tomorrow, what they do to each other every day in Beirut.
But if people are helping the bloodshed along, as some of your principles
say, I'm moving them out. I don't want Jews and Arabs to create a Northern Ireland inside Israel. I want the Arabs out. I would rather have them hate me outside the country than inside the country.
These people have no homeland. It's their
Jordan. Jordan is, for all intents and purposes, Palestine. 3/4 of its citizens, of its people, of its residents are what you would call Palestinians. Well, that's fine. I'm all for helping them create a Palestine there, but not in my country. Because I'm not going to lose my country either through Arab bullets or through Arab babies. And I'm not going to apologize for that. We spent 2,000 years living under the majority of either Christians or Muslims. And thank you, but no thanks. We have had that. We want our own country, and that is going to be our country.
Well, now, this is a principle that strikes a lot of people as harsh and dictatorial, but I do say, and I understand that it's catching on with the young people in Israel. Why is that?
Because the young people are the ones that know that they are going to be living in 20 years there when their children are going to be exposed to a possible majority of Arabs. The older people won't be there. The young will. And it's not only the young people. It's particularly the young Sephardic Jews, the Jews who come from Arab countries. They didn't learn about Arabs in a university seminar. They have so far been, thank God, immunized from college professors. They learned about Arabs by living with Arabs. They come from Arab countries. They never again want to live under Arabs.
Rabbi Kai, you're a racist, aren't you?
You know, people who can't debate defame. Why am I a racist, and define what racism is?
But you just characterize a class of people, Arabs, and appear to say they're not fit to live with, and people who have lived with them don't want to.
Yes, 800,000 Jews fled those countries. They fled. Now, Greeks have fled Turkey. And if you ask a Greek why, he will give you a whole litany of rational reasons why it is difficult for Greeks to live with Turks. That doesn't make them racists. It means that there are two peoples clashing. Two peoples who believe that it's their land. I'm not a racist. A racist is someone who says, I'm better than you, and you can never be as good as I. I'm a rabbi who believes that any non-Jew who wants to become Jewish will be as good as I am. That isn't a racist.
We're going to take a break now. We're going to be back in a moment. It's illegal, as I understand it, to have dual citizenship. How are you retaining your American citizenship?
Well, first of all, you don't properly grasp the law here. It is not true. Any U.S. citizen can be a dual citizen. He can have three citizenships. That's the American law. Now, if you don't like it, you can change the law. Now, Israel is doing that. Israel is now on the verge of passing a bill which is aimed at Americana.
Probably just a minute.
Yes.
We called the State Department this morning.
Yes.
They told us that you could not maintain your American citizenship.
Well, let me just say something. I don't know what they said. But if they said that, that's a lie. Any American citizen can be a dual citizen. Anyone. And there are millions who are. The question arose last year whether a dual citizen can be in the parliament of a foreign country. And they questioned it. I said there is a Supreme Court ruling, which Rust versus the U.S. back in 1967, which stated that a U.S. citizen cannot lose his citizenship unless he agrees to, period. Now, you can change that law. Fine. The Knesset of Israel...
Well, I don't fully agree with you, but we can't argue the law here. But let me ask you this. I understand that the Knesset of Israel is trying to put the muscle on you to make a choice.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, clearly there is no question that if the Knesset of Israel passes a law which is aimed at Meir Kahana and at no one else, because Moshe Aarons, who is...
To make you make a choice.
Right, choice, that I will, of course, choose staying in the Knesset. And I will, of course, give up the U.S. citizenship, certainly. But it's just curious to note that Moshe Aarons, who is the ambassador of Israel to this country, for years was in the Knesset as a dual citizen. The reason why this bill is being passed in the Knesset is not because of ethics, morals, or anything else. It's because the right-wing person who proposed it is afraid that I'll take votes from her party.
Well, they're playing very rough with you because, as I understand it, they've passed another law making it illegal for persons to slander, I believe, a different racial group.
Right.
And you could go to jail for, as I understand it, for up to 3 years for the sort of thing you just said here a minute ago. Is that right?
Right. I'll sit here and I'll...
I mean, that would be illegal in the United States. We've got freedom of speech
here. It's a terrible, terrible law.
Is that going to shut you up?
No. No way.
So what are you going to do?
Because part of that law also says that that the same punishment goes for anyone in Knesset who is against the concept of Israel as a Jewish state. Now, I want to tell you that it is a contradictory law. It is an absurd law. It's a poorly drawn law. The court will just toss that thing out. Next year, after the election, I'll be sitting here not with one seat, but with 15 seats.
Does the Israeli constitution have a right of freedom of speech?
There is no constitution.
So really, it won't be thrown out as violative of your freedom of speech.
No, it will be thrown out as.
Well, I think they need a constitution with a right of freedom of speech.
I agree with you, and that's one of the things that I would dearly love to see inside Israel.
Let me ask you: you have, though, given up your leadership of the Jewish Defense League here in the United States.
Yes, I have, and part the major reason is that when this law passes, and I'll have to give up citizenship, it will make it easier for me to get a visa to America if I'm not the leader of JDL.
Now, I understand one reason you might want to have a visa is that you're a sports nut. And the Yankees might be in the World Series, and that's one of your favorite teams, and maybe the Giants might even win some games. Is that true, or is that an over-exaggeration?
Not really true, even though I must tell you that. It's just great watching the Yankees making this great run on the Blue Jays. But my major reason for wanting to be here is that I have things to tell the American Jews, which other Jewish leaders simply don't say.
What?
One, that this is a great country, but it's the exile. And I have grave fears that the future for Jews in this country is black. Should there be an economic collapse? The kind of thing which happened in Europe in the 1930s and 40s could happen here. I want them to
come home. What do you mean? You mean it would turn into anti-Semitism?
To deep, deep anti-Semitism.
I don't see any sign of that happening here. By any account, there's less anti-Semitism in this country than ever in my lifetime.
You know, how do you gauge anti-Semitism? Do you walk over to someone with a Gallup poll and say, are you an anti-Semite? There was a TV program which I saw on the night that I got back here on one of your rival networks about the farmers in Iowa. They've never seen a Jew, and yet the economic crisis has led to a tremendous outburst of anti-Semitism there. When times are good, the guy in the bar who's drinking beer hates Jews quietly. He doesn't talk about it. When they're bad, he becomes a loud anti-Semite.
We only have a minute. You just said a minute ago you're going to have 15 seats in the Knesset.
Yes.
Are you going to be prime minister?
Yes. Someday I will be the prime minister. And I try and save Jews, both from Arabs and from Jews.
What will your message be to the Americans then?
Well, come home. To the American Jew?
Yes.
Absolutely. Come home. Come home quickly. Because that's the place that God gave us as our home, and He wants you there.
Thank you, Rabbi Amir Kahani. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Rabbi Amir Kahani, a member of the Israeli Knesset, who's here on a political trip to the United States. Rabbi Kahani, how does a nice Jewish boy like you from Brooklyn end up running for prime minister of Israel?
First of all, how do I end up being in Israel?
That's right.
My answer is that as an Orthodox Jew, as a rabbi, I know that Judaism demands as a commandment that a Jew live in Israel. And since I have to live in Israel, I really might as well become prime minister.
But you know, as I understand it, when you were a small child, you met a Zionist leader there in Brooklyn who was visiting, and something clicked right there that turned you onto this.
Zev Jabotinsky, who was probably the greatest of all Zionist leaders, and who indeed in his time in the late 30s called upon Jews of Europe to escape quickly while they could. Yes, he was in our home. My father was one of his followers. I was a very, very small child. I don't recall it.
Yeah.
However, I do know that his teachings permeated our home.
Now, these days, are the relations between this country and Israel getting better, or were they damaged in some way by this latest hostage situation?
I think that there have been ups and downs. I think that countries don't like other countries. They have interests. I think that certainly Ronald Reagan sees in Israel an interest, an anti-communist state, a strong country, a solid country, a stable country. On the day that the American government will change that attitude, then
Oh, but surely the attachment between Israel and the United States runs far deeper than any communism. The binds that between the ethnic binds mean much more.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I'm cynical about ties. It's not love, and it's not treaties, and it's not allies. It's interests.
Now, this last hostage crisis, which was eased when the Israelis started to release the Shiites, mm-hmm. You think that was a good idea?
I think it was the only thing that Israel could possibly do after that disastrous thing that they did in freeing the 1,100 Arabs, terrorists. I think that was, of all the mistakes that Israel has made, and they have been legion, this was the worst. This was a criminal error. So they had to simply do what they did with the Shiite hostages.
Okay, so what do you see as the future of terrorism in that area?
Well, I wish that Ronald Reagan would stop acting. I think that Ronald Reagan talks a good game and acts like Jimmy Carter. They should have bombed the hell out of West Beirut. They should have made Berry cringe. They should have made the Shiites cringe. The Middle East is not the Middle West. You've got to teach them a lesson.
If Robert Connie, you're very quick to resort to force. The innocent people would have been killed,
yes.
Those hostages would then have been killed.
If we'll do that once, the innocent hostages will never again be taken hostage. Now, get this clear. During World War II, which was the last sane war that America fought, we bombed German cities every single night with 1,000 bombers. Who do you think we were killing there? SS troops? We were fighting a war against a people that was committed to wipe us out. Now, if you're not ready to fight that kind of a war, then stop crying about hostages. That's the only way that you'll put an end to it. Now, if you want to be a Quaker, great. But then don't cry about other people that use force.
That's the last word on terrorism from Rabbi Meir Kahane. We'll be back with more.